Have your scriptures with you this morning. I invite you to turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke 13 this morning. We'll look at verses 10 through 17 this morning. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you or near you, it should be around page 872. So Luke 13, we'll look at verses 10 through 17 this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for truth. We thank you for how powerful your word is through your spirit that would convict us, who would awaken us, who would teach us and to renew us. And so, Lord, we pray as we look into this text to consider Sabbath rest and the rest that Christ offers. Lord, may we see ourselves within the text in our struggles in the midst of our so much unrest within us, around us. And Lord, that we would seek the rest that only you can give. So Lord, our heart, as always, we want to hear from you. We want to be transformed by you. We want this to be a time of your powerful work by your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll look at verses 10 through 17 this morning. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and would not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you're freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear this morning, let him hear. As we begin to work our way through this text this morning, I want us to first look at this pronouncement that Jesus says in verse 16. He says in verse 16, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" A daughter of Abraham. For some reason, God locked me onto this phrase this week. It's a beautiful pronouncement of endearment, a pronouncement of covenant unity, a pronouncement of lasting blessedness, for it's tied back to the father of our faith, Father Abraham, with whom the eternal triune God made a covenant with him, and Abraham believed him and trusted in him. Back in Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, "I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And again in Genesis 17, "I will establish my covenant between me, you, and your offspring after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And in 26 of Genesis, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And Jesus calls this woman a daughter of Abraham, one who's connected to these covenants. So what makes a daughter of Abraham? It's not about human genealogy. It's not about ancestry. It can start there. But it's a matter of a heart. It's a matter of one's faith towards God who creates us, who redeems us. It's a matter of what you do with Jesus. The people in Jesus' day were struggling with this concept because they thought as long as they were born from the family of Abraham, they thought they were good with God. And people do this today. If they're born into a church family, they think, well, since I'm born into a family, I'm good with God. They are unique. They are set apart. They get to hear the gospel. They are prayed for. But that doesn't make you a part of the kingdom of God. It's faith. It's faith, personal faith in Jesus. In John 8:39, the people answered Jesus. They said, "Abraham's our father." And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd be doing what Abraham did, but you seek to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I've heard from God. That's not what Abraham did. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham rejoiced that he would see Jesus' day, and any son and daughter of Abraham rejoices at Christ as well. Those are the true offspring of Abraham. And as we go through this text, we're asking ourselves, are we a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham? Let's see how this works out in our text this morning. In verse 10, it says that as he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And the first thing I want us to consider is what makes a daughter of Abraham is someone who's afflicted by the unrest of the world. Someone who experiences the unrest of the world. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and it's a gathering place to worship, a place to be taught from the Old Testament. And on this particular day, this Sabbath day, this day of rest, to cease from ordinary labors, from unnecessary labors, within this crowd is a woman who had a disabling spirit of some sort for 18 years. It contracted her bones, it contracted her muscles, it messed with her posture for 18 years that she couldn't even straighten herself. She was a woman afflicted by the unrest of a fallen world. Now, not all physical ailments are from an evil spirit. We call the man born blind in John 9. He experienced that ailment in a fallen world to give glory to God. So don't think just because you have a headache or an ailment that a spirit is causing it. But in this instance, it was due to a spirit. We live in a world of unrest, and it's exhausting. Unrest from a world that's fallen with cancer, with disease, unrest from guilt, from sin, from shame, unrest from Satan, in a world that wants to rob us of any joy, rob us of the peace we have in Christ. We're afflicted by the calamities around us. We're afflicted by the sinful desires within us. We're afflicted by our minds and our bodies breaking down. We're afflicted with dealing with wicked people around us. We're afflicted with the thoughts and emotions and the grief that war with inside of us. We're afflicted by Satan and his demons. As Psalm 90 says, we bring our years to an end like a sigh. This world is full of unrest, and we are completely, completely exhausted from it. And we can't fully straighten ourselves out, like the lady in the text. Many try to straighten themselves. They try to do life and figure life out with God, without Jesus. But it's impossible. It's impossible to straighten ourselves out. To be a daughter of Abraham is to say, I'm afflicted by the unrest of the world and without hope except in the mercies of Christ. We must admit we are weak. David Paulson writes, Weakness is a comprehensive description of our human condition. We're perishable. We're mortal. We face a multitude of afflictions in our lives. We are sinful, bent from a heart toward pride, self-righteousness, fear of man, and a multitude of desires and fears that beset us. But the good news is the mercy of God comes to those who admit they are weak. This woman who for 18 years struggled against the spiritual and physical unrest in her life, the chronic pain, the exhausting pain, the at times of tears of heartache, of how long, Lord, must this go on, deal with this pain, still hoped and worshiped in her God. For where is she? She's at the synagogue. She's there to hear from the Old Testament. She's there to worship Yahweh. She's there to hope and to rest in God, her Savior. A daughter of Abraham is one who knows their weakness. They know they need rescued from the unrest and the weakness within themselves and the unrest of the world. Knowing there's no hope. There's no hope except in the mercy and the power of God in Christ Jesus. She believed. So again, do we think? Do we believe? Do we see our weakness? Are we trying to straighten ourselves out? Are you tired? Are you tired? And see, we discover when we admit the tiredness, when we admit the weakness, we can find rest in Christ. In verse 12, it says, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you're freed from your disability." He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. So what makes a daughter of Abraham is someone who's touched by Jesus and the rest that he gives. Jesus saw her. He saw her. She wasn't ignored. She wasn't pushed to the side. Jesus saw her. He sees you. He sees you in your pain. He sees you in your unrest. He sees you. And he loves you. And our text says he calls her over, and we don't know what he said to call her over. What were the words? And perhaps it's some of the words we're familiar with from Matthew 11. Come to me. I know you're carrying a heavy load of unrest. You're completely exhausted from it, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Surrender to me. Unite yourself to me through faith. Trust me. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. As Jesus called to her, he calls to you. Come, come find rest. Come find rest. She didn't hesitate. She didn't wait. Neither should we. She didn't find it as an embarrassing thing, a shameful thing. She didn't wait. And we don't wait either. But we go to Christ in our weakness to find rest for our souls. The lady went over to Jesus and he said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And when you put your faith and trust in Christ, you are free indeed. You are free from guilt. You're free from condemnation. You're free from the power of sin. You're free from the power and accusations of Satan. You are free to inherit eternal resurrected glory. Woman, you are freed. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she could stand up straight. And she glorified God. The spirit was removed, the muscles released, the bones defused, the nervous system restored. She stood up straight. It's a taste of what's coming for everyone who trusts in Christ. Restored bodies, restored souls, and it will be a glorious day. Philip Ryken, he says, she was crippled by Satan's cruelty, but cured by Christ's compassion. We're all crippled by Satan's cruelty, but we are cured by Christ's compassion. Only Jesus can offer and give eternal rest to a world full of unrest. We must admit our weakness. We must admit our inability to straighten ourselves out, surrender to his work in our lives, and forever be touched by the rest he gives. Some of you know the old Gaither song, right? He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Can you say that this morning? Are you still trying to straighten yourself out? It'll never happen. Jesus sees you, he loves you, and he's calling to you, come, find rest for your souls. And then the synagogue ruler responds in verse 14, he says, he was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. He said to the people, there are 6 days in which one ought to work. Come on those days and be healed, not on the Sabbath. And the third thing we see, what makes a daughter of Abraham is someone who has to live in a world that tries to rob them of the rest that's theirs in Christ. This lady who had just experienced the most freedom and the physical rest in her life is now being told it shouldn't have happened. It was wrong for this to have happened. What was done here was evil today. And you know who says something like that? Someone who doesn't quite understand disability yet. Someone who thinks they can straighten themselves out. Someone who hasn't experienced chemo treatments yet. Someone who hasn't experienced migraines yet. Someone who hasn't understood back pain yet. Someone who hasn't understood arthritis yet. Someone who doesn't understand depression. Someone who doesn't know what constant daily pain is and how exhausting that pain is, not only physically, emotionally, and spiritually. This woman has experienced the most stress she has in 18 years, and this guy is trying to rob her of it. Satan's trying to rob her of it. They thought Jesus was sinning because on a day of rest, she found some physical rest. That's the world we live in. As soon as she got to the blessing from Jesus, Satan comes in the next moment and tries to take it away. And it's a reminder that as we discover our rest in Christ, our healing in Christ, the world, and sadly at times, people within the visible church and Satan himself will try to rob you of that rest. And when that happens, when they try to tell you that Jesus is a fool, when they try to tell you Jesus isn't worth it, when they try to tell you Jesus can't do anything for you, you remember, as we learned in Sunday school class, no one can bring against the charge against you. You are God's precious elect. It's Jesus who justifies. Who can condemn? And Jesus is raised and at the right hand of God and is interceding for you right now. As Isaiah says in Isaiah 54, no weapon fashioned against you will succeed. You will confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Don't let anyone rob you of the rest that's yours in Christ. Don't listen to the voices of the world. Don't listen to the voices in your head. They wear out like a garment. And like a moth, it will be eaten up. Listen to the voice of Jesus, whom you trust. And lastly, what makes a daughter of Abraham is someone who knows nothing can stop the promised rest that's coming. Jesus says in verse 15, the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. Do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Jesus rebuked this man. He corrected his understanding of the Sabbath. You're willing to care for an animal more than you're able to care for this woman who's in constant pain. This day is a day to rest. This woman's found it. Jesus rebuked this man, defended the daughter of Abraham from these false accusations. And Jesus does that for each one of his people. Jesus is our prophet who declares to us who we are in him, forgiven, redeemed. Jesus is our priest who laid down his life for us and continually intercedes for us. And he is our king who rules and defends and will deliver us. Sabbath was meant for rest. And the healing of this woman on the Sabbath day points us to the rest that is coming. The rest that will never be taken away. We live in a world of unrest and tribulation, but Jesus has come to overcome. John, in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 7, he has this great vision of glory. A great multitude that no one could number from every tribe, tongue, and nation, worshiping and shouting out to Jesus, the Lamb, sitting on the throne, worthy to receive glory and wisdom. And one of the elders asked John, "Do you know who this countless multitude is?" And John says, "You know, you tell me." These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation, the great unrest of this world. They have their robes washed white by the blood of the Lamb. They're before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. God will shelter them. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more. The sun will not strike them. For the Lamb is in their midst. He will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the rest that's coming. All these things that we see in the ministry of Jesus are tastes, foretastes of the rest that's to come. No one can stop it. What makes a daughter of Abraham? It's not about human genealogy or ancestry, though it can start there. It's important. But it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of faith towards God and towards Christ who redeems us. Those who trust in Christ are part of the true Israel, as Paul says in Romans. Are you tired? Are you tired? Tired of the unrest, tired of the calamities, tired of the sinfulness within, the sinfulness without, tired of our minds and our bodies breaking down. And Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me. I know you're carrying a heavy load of unrest. You're spiritually and emotionally exhausted from this. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Surrender to me. Unite yourself to me. Trust me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls." Go to him this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercies that are more than we ever deserved. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you see us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you call us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you intercede for us. Lord Jesus, that we thank you that you are a powerful king and nothing can stop what you started. So Lord, each soul here this morning and watching online, we have unrest in a multitude of ways. And we've been trying to straighten ourselves out. And you simply say, "Come, cast our burdens upon you. Because you care for us, that you love us." Lord, we pray for the energy and the strength for the day that you have before us. We thank you that your mercies are new each day. That, Lord, that the rest that we receive that will come to full consummation when you return, Lord, may it be new, may it be fresh right now and each morning. Give us discernment, give us eyes to be ready for Satan to try to rob us of that rest, to take it away from us. And Lord, we pray for loved ones who are tired. Lord, may they experience the rest and the comfort that only you can give today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.